Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Returning now to Cork, and Creating Autism is a new exhibition looking at the processes that shape autistic identity. Using a mixture of sounds and images, it also explores language and media coverage of autism. Dr. Stuart Nielsen is a statistician. He's behind the exhibition, and I spoke to him earlier, and I began by asking him, what does the exhibition involve?
There are three main pieces. One of them is the change in the terminology that's been used to diagnose autism between 1952 and the present. And then a map where I've taken all the newspaper stories published over the last 15 years. So it's about 3,500 stories and 2.5 million words. And then put them into the province of Ireland where the word is most frequently used. So you get a map of how autism is a different thing in different provinces. And then the last piece is looking at people with autism as opposed to autistic people.
It sounds like a huge job of work. Why did you do that?
Actually, I was ill and I was in a hospital and I was bored and I had this idea. I mean, I'd been looking at newspapers before in my lecturing, but I had this idea of there must be so much that you could gather looking at the way words are connected to each other and the way words are connected to emotion and judgment about other people.
Now, are you an autistic person or are you a person with autism?
I don't think it particularly matters as long as the language is clear and respectful. And I think autistic person tends to lead people into more respectful language, not because the term itself is more respectful, but because words fall into phrases that we're familiar with. And it's so easy to say things like autism epidemic or autism problem, and it's very hard to say that with autistic.
What are the consequences of the misuse of the word autism?
I think probably the worst one is in newspapers. It's quite common, not just with autism, but with disability and illness generally, to talk about somebody as a sufferer. So that the idea that you've got a person there with a story and a lifestyle and a set of relationships and goals in life, they just become a sufferer of disease. I think it's dehumanized them and removed all of the idea that they have this complex life and this complex existence.
So you're labeled, you become a labeled person. I'd like to talk, Stuart, about your own background as well. You're a person with Asperger's.
Yes.
Tell me about being diagnosed.
I had depression. I was being treated for depression. It was very unsuccessful, I suppose, almost 10 years of being in and out of psychiatric care. And a psychiatrist called Daniel Flynn, who's in Cork in the Southleigh area, decided to look at the diagnosis of autism as a better description of the problems I was having relating to other people and relating to anxiety and relating to work. And I didn't immediately embrace it, but when I went home and looked at the other things that went with it, like the sensory issues, the anxiety I feel in public spaces and feeling like people are looking at me and judging me and feeling the sense of shame, it really fitted with the feelings I have outside the house.
You waited until you were 45 years of age to get a diagnosis. So you went through your childhood and your upbringing. Did you go through your childhood and upbringing feeling different and wondering why?
Oh, always, yes. I was always in detention in school. And they moved me from classes because of what they call personality clashes with teachers, anti-authoritarian behaviour, whatever. So, yes, I've always had an eccentricity. When I was presenting my PhD in 1994, the examiner looked at me and he said, "Mr. Nielsen, quite frankly, I think you're a weirdo." Which I don't know how you're supposed to respond to that in an examination. But
did you respond at the time? Or how did it make you feel?
I don't really know what I said. I think I was speechless. I think I waited for him to ask a question after that.
You progress through your career and your personal life, and then you get this diagnosis at 45. Did it help?
It helps an awful lot. It's like when the washing machine stops at home and you suddenly sit up and think, what just happened? And you can't hear it anymore, but as soon as you identify what the problem was, it's not a problem anymore. Because when you hear that change in the sound spectrum of your own home, your mind immediately thinks burglars, strangers, visitors at the door. But then once you've identified it, it's not a problem and it's not anxiety provoking. And I think when you feel all of those sensory issues, the tactile things, the noise, the sound of artificial lighting, and you know that that's what's causing you distress, it's not distressing anymore.
Do we need to mainstream, if you know what I mean, the portrayal of people with autism, autistic people in television, on radio, in movies and so on?
I think the last 10 years has been fabulous. Not all of it's good, but there are some, like Saga Norén in the Swedish production The Bridge, who's a fabulous character and a whole person. And the idea that she has Asperger's syndrome is, it's not incidental, but it's not the centre point of the story like it would have been with Rain Man.
Coming back to your exhibition and your research for the exhibition and your study of newspapers over a long period, what differences did you find in the way the various provinces in Ireland treat autism?
In Munster, we've got the history of Jamie Sinnott with this landmark court case where he wanted his education and he won the right to an education, and the end result is that everybody now has a right to be assessed and a right to be given a full and complete education for as long as they're a child. And when people report on autism and autism events and progress in the research on autism, they tend to refer back to that. So we had this very strong idea of community and resourcing and family. But in Leinster, there's the Autism Brain Bank and genetic research, and people keep talking about medicine and gene testing, and in the future it might be possible. And it must be very different growing up in a place where people talk about, we the community did this, as opposed to those research scientists over there might change our life sometime in the future.
The exhibition is in St. Peter's Gallery in Cork. How long will it run for?
It's up for 3 weeks, and we have two presentations on the next two Saturdays by people involved in teaching and the Autism Friendly Hospital Initiative.
And that was Dr. Stuart Nielsen speaking to me earlier. Creating Autism, as he was saying, will be running at St. Peter's in Cork until the 27th of February. Details available at stpeterscork.ie.